Our scripture reading for this morning is found in the book of Luke, and this is going to be our final look at the book of Luke in this year. We started back in October our survey of the book of Luke, and we've gone through the first four chapters of Luke, so today is going to be a bit of a summary, or at least a summing up of what we've learned over this year. So I'm going to start with Luke chapter 1, verse 1. It's found on page 990 in your pew Bibles. 990 in the pew Bibles, and we'll be reading the first four verses. Luke writes, "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us." And this word, if you remember, at the beginning of the year, we talked about the word fulfilled, how it means that the literal meaning of this word is that something is filled up and carried forward. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who, from the first, were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught." Now, the reason he writes to Theophilus is not just so that he would have head knowledge about that it is true, but so that Theophilus himself would use that certainty in order to be able to serve the Lord. Now, we're going to skip ahead to chapter 4 in Luke. We'll start in verse 16 of chapter 4, and this is page 996 in your pew Bible. And this really is the story Luke is telling us for the first time about lives that have been transformed by Jesus and his ministry. But first he talks about an encounter in his hometown where that's not what happened. So verse 16, Luke chapter 4, page 996 in your pew Bible. "He went to Nazareth," that is Jesus, "went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, and release for the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.' Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, 'Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Remember that word, fulfilled. Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips.'" But then something doesn't quite sit right. "Isn't this Joseph's son? That carpenter?" Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum. So Jesus is anticipating some of their objections. And Luke is letting us know that this is not the beginning of Jesus' healing and teaching ministry, right? Because the people in Jesus' hometown, he's anticipating that they're going to say, do what you did in Capernaum here. And as we're going to learn, Capernaum is now Jesus' new home base. So there may be just a little bit of jealousy in the hometown crowd in Nazareth. Do what you did in Capernaum, do it here. Now, I'm having a little bit of trouble this morning. I'm actually feeling kind of heavy. I'm not sure why I feel so heavy, but I'm trying to push through. But you know what? I think I need some kids to come on up and help me so that maybe I can feel a little less heavy in my preaching this morning. Kids, could you come on up and help me this morning? If you're a kid and are here, I'd love it if you would come up and help. Can you guys come on up? Oh, I don't know why I feel so heavy this morning. Why do you... What? Because I'm what? A backpack? Well, so what? I always wear a backpack. What about it? It's heavy. Are you sure? Yeah. I mean, but it's got everything that I need to serve God in it.
Just take it out.
Why? But it's got everything that I need to serve God in my backpack.
Take it out.
Well, should we see what... Well, I don't want to take out everything because maybe something is super important and I can't do without it.
Okay.
Should we see what's in my backpack? And we'll see... Ugh. It is really heavy. Maybe that is the reason I feel so heavy this morning. But it's everything that I think I need to serve God. Ugh. Okay. All right. Let's sit down here. Okay. Oh.
Whew.
It's kind of heavy. Yeah. So, you know what? I think we can help the adults to know what we're doing up here if I have this clicker with me. So, yeah. This is everything I need to serve God. Well, the first thing I need here is this thing. Do you think that might be a little bit heavy?
Yeah.
Well, what is it?
A key.
It's kind of like a chain. You can kind of hear it rattle, right? And but it's something that you might like. It's like kind of a lock, right?
Yeah.
But what do you use that a lock for?
I don't know.
What do you lock up?
A bike,
exactly. And then this is actually a bike lock. But I use it because I know that it's important that I stay safe. To serve God, you have to stay safe all the time, right? You have to take care of yourself first, right, when you're serving God? Do you have to take care of yourself first when you're serving God? No, you have to let yourself not be safe. And then when you're serving God, it's actually not safe. So maybe I don't need this chain anymore. What do you think? Should I take it off? Okay, well, let's see. I've got a key for it. Okay, well, we'll take that. Maybe that'll help me. I guess it's okay if I don't just kind of try to stay safe all the time. Okay, well, can somebody go put that on the front pew for me, please? Okay, that might help me feel a little less heavy this morning. Right up on the front pew there. Oh, good. You can hear, that's already going to make my life a lot easier. Okay. Okay, let's see. What else do we have in here? Let's see. What's in there?
A Bible.
Is it a Bible? What is it?
A dictionary.
It's a dictionary. Well, of course I need that. Otherwise, how will I know whether I have all the right words to say to people who don't know about God? Do you think that's something I should be really concerned about,
yeah,
right? Making sure I know that I say everything perfect so that people can learn about God? Is that really important?
Yeah.
No. Maybe not. Maybe I can. Do you think I can let go of this?
Yeah.
Will that kind of like make my life a little easier?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, can you put that over on the pew? I guess I can be okay if I don't have all the right perfect words all the time. Okay. Well, let's see. Let's look in this one. What do we have here? Oh, this we have to be very careful of. We have to be very, very careful of... Why do you think I might need to bring this mirror around all the time? Well, it has a few functions. I think in order to serve God well, I have to look perfect all the time, right? Are you sure?
Yeah.
I don't have to look. But look at this. It even like has a magnifying so I can look really close and see all my... I can see all my flaws. Isn't that really important? Are you sure?
Yeah.
To see all my flaws? Okay, well, I guess we can leave this one. It's actually not very heavy anyways, but I probably don't really need it. So can somebody very carefully go put this over on the pew for me?
Okay.
And you can put that too. Can you put this on the pew for me? Thank you. Okay. Well, let's see. What else can we find? Well, what else do you see in there? What's that? Do you need a hand? Can one of the boys maybe help? Maybe, yeah. Oh, what's that? Oh, only one thing at a time. What do you think that is?
Battery.
It's a big industrial strength battery. What are batteries for? They're for electronics and stuff, yeah, but what do we use them for? We need them for power, right?
Yeah.
Right. Well, I think it's really important. Like, if I want to share with people about Jesus, it's better if I do it from a position of strength, right? If I'm, like, a pastor, or if I have a, like, big important job, or if I'm a politician or something, I need to be really powerful, right, in order to share? Are you sure?
No.
You think anybody can just share about Jesus?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Okay, well, okay, I guess we can put that on the pew then, too. You want to put it? That would be very helpful. Thank you. Yes, sir. Okay. It's a little bit heavy. Yeah, it's like I said, it's an industrial strength battery. Okay, let's see what else is in here. Well, that's really important. What's that? It's a car. Well, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, right, and make disciples everywhere. Isn't it so important that, like, you have to, like, have a driver's license at least to be able to work for God, right, and serve God? What do you think? Do you think we need that? Do you think you need to have, like, lots of cars and important things, like, to take you around?
No.
Okay. Well, okay. I guess we can let go of that car, too. Let's see. What else do we have here? Oh, well, this is really important.
That's really important.
What's in there? What is that? What? Oh. Well, I need that. Otherwise, how else am I going to stay healthy?
No.
Are you telling me that I can even serve God if I'm sick?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I don't know if I believe you, but I guess I'll trust you. We can let go of this dumbbell, I guess.
Yeah.
Can you put that down? Yeah. Put it over on the pew. Yeah. I guess it's a little bit heavy to carry around. Nothing else in there. This is an important one. Maybe look in there.
Hey,
can you look in there, Ling Ling? Can you look in here? Oh, that's nothing. Can you look in here? What's in there? All the way down. What's that?
Coins.
It's money, right?
We don't need money.
Well, you need money, right? You have to have money. Don't you need money to live?
Yeah.
Well, but do you need money to serve God?
No.
Well, okay, I guess we can put that on my... All right. Oh. Boy, it's certainly feeling a lot lighter, isn't it? Maybe. But okay, well, I think there may be one more thing in there. What do you think that is? A phone. Well, that's super, super important because it has everything else in one place. Right? It's an everything device. Are you sure that I don't need a phone to serve God all the time? Let's just put it back because I don't want to give up my phone. Let's just, I think I'm going to tell the story. You know what? That's the heaviest thing of all. Oh my goodness. Okay, I guess we'll give up the phone too. Okay. Fine. Okay. Well, it is feeling a lot lighter, but you know what? It's completely empty. How am I going to be able to serve God if I'm completely empty? Well, let's find out. There's nothing else in there. Okay, let's go sit on the steps because I think I feel better now. And I think I can maybe tell you a little story about serving God. And this is another part about Jesus. It's a story about Jesus. And I don't know if you guys were listening just a little bit ago, but we talked about Jesus fulfilling prophecy and fulfilling all kinds of stuff. Remember, we actually started, I think at the beginning of the year, I brought this bag and we filled it up with stuff, right? Or we had stuff that we filled, right? Right. And so that's kind of what we're going to talk about. And then we talked a little bit about, if you're listening just a minute ago, we talked about how Jesus went to his hometown called Nazareth, right? If you look up on the screen there, you can see where Nazareth was. It's in a place called Galilee. Okay. But you know where, what happened is Jesus grew up there, but when he was an adult, he went in and lived in a place called Capernaum. And it's just up by the Sea of Galilee, Capernaum. Now, like I said before, probably the place where he grew up in Nazareth, they probably weren't super jazzed about that. They thought it was probably a little weird. Like, what's so special about Capernaum, right? But when he went to go talk to them in Capernaum and share the good news with them in Capernaum about how he was supposed to release the oppressed, kind of like what we did with emptying my pack, they were very angry with him, actually, in the end. They even tried to kill him. And they said, and he thought they were thinking, and he knew what they were thinking. He said, "You're going to tell me to do what you did in Capernaum." And this story is actually a story about what he did in Capernaum. We've been talking about it for the last few weeks. He went to Capernaum, and he went to the synagogue in Capernaum. And we're going to see a little picture. So I'm just going to show you a little bit. This is the place, the part of Galilee. That's mostly where Jesus worked. He lived in Capernaum. That little tiny bit of land, that's where he spent most of his time in those 3 years when he was working. Now, the next slide, this is actually a picture of what Capernaum looks like now. It's lots of ruins, lots of rubble, and we talked a little bit about how Jesus went to the synagogue in previous weeks. That's where the synagogue was, although the building, that ruin that you can see there, is not the actual synagogue where Jesus was. That was one that was built later on. And underneath is where the synagogue that Jesus preached in was, in Capernaum, and where he delivered the man from the evil spirit. Now, that's something that they did a lot in Israel. They would build over top of the things that were there before. And in fact, you can even see something really interesting in this picture. I'm drawing a circle around it right now. That circle is drawn around a modern church that was built in the last 20 years or so, but that church was built over top of something else. That modern church was built on top of another old church, and that old church was built over top of Simon Peter's house. Isn't that amazing? They've dug down, and they can actually see that under this church, there was once a house, and about in Jesus' time, or just shortly after Jesus' time, they converted it into a place where people gathered, and they plastered the walls, and everything was different. So this is actually the very place where this story happens. So here we go. I'm going to tell you a little bit of the story from Luke chapter 4. It says, Jesus left the synagogue, you can see where it is, and went to the home of Simon. That's Simon Peter. So Simon Peter was one of Jesus' followers. Now, Jesus had known Simon probably for about a year by this point. We can read about that story in the Gospel of John. So when he went back to Galilee, when he decided to stay in the town of Capernaum, he would stay at the house of Simon Peter. Then Luke goes on. He says, now Simon Peter's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever. What do you think that means? Suffering from a high fever. What does it mean if you get a fever?
You're sick,
exactly. And from ancient times, everybody knew that when you had a fever, that was something serious. You had to make sure that you rested, but especially this high fever, she was probably almost on death's door. She may have been almost ready to die. This was Peter's wife's mom. So she was just lying there quite still. And she was probably a very nice lady. She had welcomed Jesus into her home. Jesus went off to the synagogue in the morning. Then he came back in the evening, and they told Jesus, the Bible says, about Peter's mom. She had now a high fever, and she was suffering. And it says they asked Jesus to help her. What do you think Jesus did? He had kind of a long day in the synagogue. All kinds of weird stuff happened in the synagogue, right? Do you think he just kind of said, oh, I'm kind of tired. I think I'm just gonna go take a rest, and I'll help her tomorrow morning.
No.
No.
He said, I'm gonna help.
You're right. He said, I'm just gonna help you. Exactly. And Luke tells us, so he bent over her. That means she was lying down, right? And he rebuked the fever. What does it mean to rebuke something? It means, go away. Don't do that anymore. That's what Jesus said to the fever. Go away. Don't do that anymore. Don't hurt my friend anymore. And it says the fever left her. And then the amazing thing. Now, normally, if you're really, really sick and you start feeling better, what do you do? You maybe sit up a bit and stretch a little bit, and people say, don't exert yourself. You just stay resting. I'm glad that you're feeling better, but you just rest for a little while longer. You can get up and walk around a bit tomorrow, right? That's usually what people would do, right? But what it says here is she got up at once. And she didn't only just get up, she just kind of like jumped up at once. And you know what she did? She began to serve them. She began to wait on them. So isn't that amazing? I mean, normally, like I said, you just kind of like, okay, I'm just going to take it easy for maybe a day or two, and then I can get back to what I normally do. But what she did was she jumped up, and she started to serve Jesus and all of the friends. And that just shows you how fully, how completely she was healed. And then the word about that spread. It says, when the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. So he didn't just say, be healed, all you guys, and all of a sudden they were all healed. He certainly could have done that, but he looked every one of them in the eye, and they were sick, and he healed them. Some of them even had, it says, had demons in them, and some of them, demons came out of many people, and they were shouting, you are the Son of God. But he rebuked them. What does that word mean again? Rebuked. Don't do that, right? It says, he said, don't do that to them. And they stopped. He rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew that he was the Christ. That means he was the anointed one. He was the one. Remember we heard earlier, I was anointed, I am anointed by the Spirit who is on me to preach good news to the poor, to release, let go the people who are suffering. And these evil spirits knew that he was the anointed one, the one who was to come. But he didn't let them speak. Then it says, at daybreak, Jesus went out. Now, at daybreak, that means that at night, he was probably healing and healing and helping people, maybe even all the way through the night. But then he went out at when the dawn broke to a solitary place. Why do you think he went off by himself? In another part of the Bible, another gospel, it says he went out by himself to pray. He did that every day, probably. Went off to a solitary place by himself to pray to God. That people were looking for him. Why were they looking for him?
Because they wanted him to heal.
They wanted him to heal, exactly. And when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also. Remember we looked at those other towns, right? These guys, all these other towns, because that is why I was sent, to proclaim, to preach, to say really loud about the good news of the kingdom of God. And he kept on preaching in all the synagogues of Judea, which means he kept on preaching in all the gathering places where all the Jewish people will get together and read the Bible and study the Bible. Now, remember how we talked about how this is the story. Luke is telling us the story about how Jesus changed the people's hearts. He changed them for the better. Remember that there were some people in Capernaum who did change, and other people in his own hometown who wanted to kill him? Did you know that still today, some people want to trust Jesus? They want to make him their king. But other people just want to stay the same. They want their life to go on just kind of the way it was. They're certainly happy to have Jesus heal. They want to see him do amazing things. But making him their king? Well, they'd rather kind of take care of their own business and not have to change. If they would even probably rather stay and not be healed if healing means following Jesus, serving Jesus. I want you to think back to Peter's mother-in-law, right? So that means he was married and his wife had a mom, right?
Of course.
Yes, of course. And that mom was such a special person because she's one of the very first people that these stories about Jesus that we call the Gospels, one of the very first people that we read about whose life was changed by Jesus. And I bet you guys, maybe your mom or your grandma or your aunt or your dad or your uncle, other people in your life also had their lives changed by Jesus, and they want to serve him. And some of the ways that they serve him are by serving you guys and taking care of you guys. Do you think there are, you know, people like that in your life?
Yeah,
I think so too. I think I know who some of those people are in your life. So, she had a change in her life, even though she was a nice lady before. All of a sudden, from the moment that she was laid out and couldn't help anybody, couldn't serve anybody, when she was healed by Jesus, what did she do?
Jumped up.
She jumped up. And served them, exactly right. Did you know that Jesus is still changing us? He's still changing people. But you know what? We still need to do the same thing as Peter's mother-in-law, we need to realize that the only thing we need to serve Jesus is to trust him, right? And have a thankful heart. And then, even if, and especially if, our bag is empty, it's going to be full of what? Jesus fills our bag and gives us everything that we need to serve him. And that's actually our central truth for today, for this message. You want to read up there. It says, Jesus fulfills us. Jesus fulfills us, and he gives us everything that we need to serve him. So we don't need to have power to serve Jesus or to trust him. We don't need to have a car to trust Jesus or to serve him. Pardon me? We don't need money to trust Jesus and serve him. We don't need to have all the perfect words to trust Jesus and to serve him. We certainly don't need a mirror, that's for sure. Actually, that's probably one of the first things we need to get rid of. And we don't need a phone to trust Jesus and to serve him. Yeah, we don't need any of those things. What do we need to do? Just trust him and serve him. And do you know how we do that? How Jesus helps us change still? Even though we can't see Jesus anymore, he's still working in us, still changing. You know how we do that? How do we trust and how he made it possible for us to trust him? I'm going to show you something really special. So you guys can sit there for a sec still. All right. Now, today is the third Sunday of the month. And on the third Sunday of the month, we do something very special. We observe communion. We celebrate communion. Do you know what that means? What we do, what we're doing when we observe communion? We're doing the thing that Jesus told us to do, to remember him by. And we remind ourselves that we should be like Jesus as well. So on the last day that Jesus had with his disciples before he was killed, he had a very special meal with them, and he took a piece of bread, and the Bible says he took bread and he broke it. Exactly. He broke that bread and he said, and he gave it to them, each one of them, and he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." That means I want you to eat this bread to remember what I did. And what did Jesus do for us?
He gave us the bread and saved us.
He saved us. How did he save us? How did Jesus save us? He took our sins on himself, but how did he do that? That's right. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. So you know those people who were trying to hurt Jesus all the way through from the time he was starting out in his own hometown? They wanted to hurt him. Yeah. Eventually, he knew that they were going to kill him. And he gave his own life. He gave his own body. He let himself be broken so that he could take our sins onto himself. And the other thing that we do when we celebrate communion is we take what we call the cup. And what's inside the cup? Juice or wine, exactly. Now, what does this juice or wine, and what kind of juice is it? Is it orange juice? What?
Grape juice.
Grape juice, exactly. So it's grape juice. And what does it kind of look a little bit like? It looks like blood, exactly. So when Jesus was broken in his body, he also bled, right? And he told his disciples at that last meal, the Last Supper, he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." So Jesus let his body be broken. He shed his own blood so that we could have a new deal, a new promise, a new agreement with God, so our sins could be dealt with, taken away from us. So all we need, the only thing we need to do, is to trust Jesus and to serve him. And every month, we celebrate communion to remind us of what Jesus did for us and to commit ourselves to decide once again, yes, I want to be like Jesus, I want to follow him, and I want to trust him. And even though I still sin, I trust that he has taken away all of those bad things. Does anybody know what sin is? Can you tell me what sin is? When we don't listen to our parents, that's true. Yeah. So that's like a bad thing that you do. How about bad things that you think?
Yes.
Yeah. So bad things that you think too, especially if you're like thinking about them over and over again and kind of getting madder and madder or something like that about something that somebody did to you. Or sometimes it's not only what we do or what we think, but it's our whole heart. The Bible tells us that it's our whole heart that turns away from God. It says that our hearts are turned away from God to do bad things all the time. Isn't that crazy? Even if we don't actually do something or think something bad, our hearts, without Jesus and what he did for us on the cross, our hearts would still be full of sin. But because he was broken, because he poured out his blood for us, our sins are taken away, and our heart is united snug up to him, and we get to put on his own, what we call righteousness, his own perfection. So, I think some of you have already put your trust in Jesus, right? Some of you are still thinking about it. Some of you aren't really sure yet what that means, and that's okay. But some of you, maybe even today, would like to put your trust in Jesus for the very first time. And if you put your trust in Jesus for the very first time, then when we take communion a little bit later on, you can remember that this is Jesus' body broken and eat that. You can take the cup and remember that this reminds us of Jesus' blood, and you can drink that because it means something to you then. But we have to remember also that when we celebrate communion, it's not just a snack. It's not just a snack at the end of the service, right? So if you haven't put your whole trust in Jesus, if you haven't trusted in Jesus, then what we say is we just let those elements, the bread and the juice, when they come by us in the pew, we just say, "I'm not quite there yet. There's lots of food later on that I can have. I don't need a snack right now," right? It only means something if you have put your trust in Jesus. If you are thinking about, what did Jesus do for me? He was broken for me, and he poured out his blood for me. And that's all I need to do to be saved and to serve him. So I want you guys to think about that for a second. And if you're ready this morning, we're going to bow our heads and fold our hands. And if you want to put your trust in Jesus for the very first time this morning, I want you to pray inside your head after what I pray. And then later on today, I want you to tell your mom and dad about it. And you can come tell me too after the service. Okay? If you're not ready for that yet, that's okay. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, that's also okay. You'll have lots of opportunities later on to do that. So let's pray together. If you're ready to put your trust in Jesus, you can pray after me quietly in your heart. That's true for all of you as well. Dear Jesus, thank you that you came. I know that I do bad things. I know that I think bad things. I know that my heart always wants to go away from you. Thank you that you came. Thank you that you died. Thank you that you let your body be broken. Thank you that you let your blood be poured out. I want to put my trust in you. I want to serve you with my whole life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.